This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Taif is a city that is only 90 kilometers away from Mecca. So anyone who has been to the city from Mecca to Al-Mukarramah will realize that it is a short distance away. But the elevation between Mecca and Taif is great. So Mecca is only 300 meters above the sea level. And Taif is 1,900 meters approximately above sea level. So for a person going by motor vehicle, it is just the journey of about an hour. But someone who is journeying by foot would take quite some time, and they would have to go quite an elevation. Imagine going from 300 meters to 1,900 meters. And this was the journey that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam undertook. And not only did he undertake a journey, but it was a journey in a region that is very hot. At times the temperature reaches 45, 50 degrees Celsius. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam undertook this journey on foot and alone. Allahu Akbar. Some people go to say that Zayd ibn Haritha, the Mawla of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was with him. And some say he was all alone. Imagine undertaking this journey all alone, in the heat, and going from an elevation of 300 meters to 1,900 meters. That means the difference is 1,600 meters of elevation, climbing up into the mountains. In fact, even if you go by car today, you will realize that as you are going up, it is difficult. The car will find it difficult to go up. It is a strain on a motor vehicle. So imagine what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through. And this was after the boycott and after Amul Huzn, the year of sadness, when he lost his dear wife and he lost his pillar of support, his own uncle. So he goes to Taif hoping that he will receive some sort of help and support for his da'wah, for his call to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Now I'd like to draw our attention to something. If this was a journey that was undertaken for any other purpose, then perhaps a person would have faltered, would have given up, would have said it is not worth undertaking this journey. But because it was for Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was happy to undertake the journey. He was prepared to do it. Why? Because he had purpose. So when insan has purpose in life, by and large, the person will find it easy to do what they have to do. Why? Because there is a purpose, there is a reason why I am going there. And what better reason than for the sake of our creation, the reason why we were created in the first place. And that is to worship Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal and to call towards Him, because ultimately we will end up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he had this purpose in mind and he went, he undertook the journey. Fearless, going to people whom he doesn't really know. So he goes to these people. And you know, interestingly, the journey is undertaken alone, solo. And we will return to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal alone, solo. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا فُرَادًا كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةً. And you will come to us, you have come to us all alone, in the manner that we created you, single as well. Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal brought you into this world all alone. You were single, you were one human being, and you will come to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal on the day of judgment in the same manner that He created you, naked, barefoot, before Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. So when we have something to undertake in our lives, especially if it is a journey towards Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, something that will bring us closer to Him, then we need to remember that sometimes we have to be alone. You are calling to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, inviting people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will find resistance. You will find people push back. You will find those who reject your message. You will find those who will get up and put up videos against you. Why? Because you are engaging in that which Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal wants of you, that which the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam did. You see, we may think that, but I'm not, the ordinary man is not engaged in da'wah. The ordinary man is not engaged in calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in reality, this is the responsibility of all. And every single person in his home is a da'i. He is a caller to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Ya ayyuhalladhi amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you who have believed, save yourselves and your families from the fire. What is that? Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal is telling you to call your own family to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To call those who are in your circles to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. The people you meet at work are your responsibility. You must invite them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, the time of salah is being called. You take them to the masjid. Something wrong is happening in the workplace. You try and rectify it in the best manner possible. Why? Because it is your responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you. Yes, you may find resistance. Yes, you may find people turn against you as a result. But you are doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must engage with sincerity. And you must engage in a good manner. And this was the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here we find that he is in front of the leaders in Ta'if. And he addresses them and says, I am calling you to ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. I am calling you to none other than your purpose of creation. The reason why you are here in the first place. And that is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So that is something that you have naturally identified with. But what was their response? They responded by saying, لَمْ يَجِدِ اللَّهُ أَحَدًا غَيْرَكَ لِيُرْسِلَهُ. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not find anyone better than you? Did He only find you? Why could He have not found anyone better than you? You see, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came from nobility. But he did not come from a rich and wealthy background. He did not have much. So what did they say? Did Allah not find anyone better than you? And they knew at this point that the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were poor. So they rejected Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By and large, it was the poor people that accepted the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now, if the rich and the noble of society accept the message, then it is seen as a degradation for them. They are putting themselves lower and they are bringing themselves down. So they rejected the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam based on the level of wealth that he had, the level of power that he had. They rejected him. And this is what we find generally amongst the people. رَأَيْتُ النَّاسَ قَدْ مَالُوا إِلَى مَنْ عِنْدَهُ مَالُوا وَمَنْ لَا عِنْدَهُ مَالُوا فَعَنْهُ النَّاسُ قَدْ مَالُوا. I have seen the people, they incline towards those who have wealth, those who have power, those who have position and authority. And those who have nothing, then the people will turn away from them. The people will move away from them. So this is what they did to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They rejected his message, not because his message did not have substance, but because of the position of the man that they saw. You are nobody. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَلَى رَجُلٍ مِّنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not send this message to anyone besides a person like you? Could he have not sent it to someone greater than them from these two cities of Mecca and Ta'if? And this is what the message was. So Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal chose. And we need to realize that no matter where the message is coming from, we must accept it if it is the truth. You see, sometimes a young child in the home says a word of truth. And they say something, And we stand up and we reject immediately. Why? Because it is a child. Who are you to tell me? Who are you to say it? But Allah is the one who employed that child to say those words to correct you at that time. Sometimes the father is smoking. The mother is not wearing hijab. And the child learns something from the cartoons that they are watching. And the child says, but mom, why don't you do this? Why are you not wearing hijab? Yet the person that the cartoons I am watching, they are wearing hijab. That message is a message. Don't think it is a message from that child alone. It is a message from Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal through that child. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So sometimes we need to understand that no matter where the message is coming from, whether it is friend or foe, friend or enemy, we accept that message because it is the truth and Allah is the truth. And this is what ties into Islam as well. You know, Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal tells us that speak the truth and be honest and judge with the truth and justice. وَزِنُوا بِالْقِسْطَاسِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ And judge with the correct judgment, the scales that have the correct balance. Why? Because that is the truth, and the truth ties into Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. In fact, he says, وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوِ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ Even if it is against your own self. Sometimes you find yourself in a situation, car accident, something happened, and it is your fault. You know that it is my fault. You get out there and you acknowledge, dear brother, it is my fault. I made this mistake. I will pay for the damages. It is okay. Yes, I may not manage all the total amount, but I will manage whatever I can today. I will pay tomorrow. I will do this and that. It is against you. You are in a tough situation. You know you can't afford it, but you speak against yourself. Why? Because the truth matters more. And even if it is against your own parents and those who are close to you. You know, this happens in the marital home as well, where we find that the mother and father, at times they are wrong. And we cannot say to our own parents that, look, mom, dad, with the most respect to you, unfortunately here you are wrong. And my spouse is right. And I think we need to make amends. And we need to find a way forward. What we do, we say, no, that is my mother, my father, I have to respect them. Yes, respect them. But that does not mean that you take away from the rights of your own spouse. At times we do injustice towards our spouse simply because it is my mother, it is my father. I can't tell them anything. I can't say anything to them. If you cannot say, find someone who can explain to them that perhaps in this situation, you need to consider that mom, dad, you were wrong. And that is Islam. That is Islam. Sometimes we say that, no, if I speak out, then I'm disrespecting my parents. No, it is not disrespect. If you do it in the correct manner, then that is Islam itself. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants of you. So this all ties into accepting the message. These people rejected Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One of them going as far as saying that if you are a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you are greater then for me to respond to you. And if you are not a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you are too low for me to respond to you. Meaning, regardless of who you are, then I will not respond to you. He went to find a philosophy to respond. And he responded in this manner, rejecting the message of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves this gathering. And as he leaves the gathering, not only did they set the urchins of the city upon him to pelt him and to hurl insults at him, but they drove him out of the city. And as he is walking, his shoes become clogged with blood. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What was he there for? Was he there to seek some money? Was he there to seek some help and support and assistance for something that would benefit him and his family? No, he was there for Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Yet he is being taunted and there are stones that are being pelted upon him. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he leaves the city. And when he gets to the outskirts of the city, they say that from where he walked to where he finally rested was 42 to 43 kilometers. There are different narrations, but they say it was 42 to 43 kilometers. By the time Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rested, who was this? Who was this? This was khayrul khalqi ajma'in, the best of creation, most close to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. So do you think that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him, he will not test us? You will be tested as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him. He got to the outskirts of the city. And there he rested. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam comes to him and says, هذا ملك الجبال. This is the angel of the mountains. If you wish, I will tell this angel of the mountains and he will command that the two mountains come together and crush these people. They are over, they are done for what they did to you. What is the response of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? At this juncture, he finds it within his heart, and this tells us that his struggle was for Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. His heart was somewhere else. It was with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, perhaps they have rejected me. Allahumma ghfir li qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, forgive my people, for they do not know. Oh Allah, forgive my people, for they do not know. Perhaps some people will come from the future generations that will accept Islam. Allahu Akbar. Look at the vision of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He realized that this is greater than me. This is greater than my suffering. What is more important is for these people to accept Islam and for them to become a stronghold of Islam. Today if you go to Taif, they are all Muslimin. Allahu Akbar. Imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided and said, let them be crushed, it is okay. That would have ended there. And the story was over. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a greater priority. And that was for them to accept Islam. And not only would they benefit, but he would benefit as well. So anyone who then made a shahada, and anyone who prayed salah, and anyone who did something good from that city, the reward goes to who? To Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is sometimes difficult to forgive. It is sometimes difficult to say, let me leave it and let it go. And it is okay and it doesn't matter. But that is what Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal wants of us, especially when it is to do with the deen, especially when it is to do with the religion of Islam. Forgive for the sake of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, and even more so, even easier when it is to do something with your own self. مَنْ تَقَمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لِنَفْسِهِ قَطْ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never took revenge for himself. You stomped upon me, it is okay, it doesn't matter. An Arabi, he comes and he pulls upon the collar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until it leaves some marks on the blessed neck of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what does he say? He simply says, it is okay, Umar. Umar was ready. He wanted to punch up this person. He says, leave him, it is okay. Let him say what he wants to say. Why? Because this is to do with me. It has affected me. Doesn't matter. Let it go. فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَصْفَحْ. Forgive them and let it go. And this is the attitude that a successful person has. Why? When you forgive, not only are you forgiving the person and allowing them to carry on, but you are forgiving yourself as well. And you are letting go of the baggage that you are carrying with you. This person, I have not been speaking to them for 20 years. Why? Because 20 years ago, they refused to marry my daughter. That person, I am not speaking to him for 10 years. Why? Because he came and we had an altercation and we fought in our shop. Let it go. You are holding on to baggage. You know what that baggage is like? It is like a backpack that you put onto your shoulders. And every time that you carry a grudge, there is a big boulder that you are taking, putting into that backpack. What will happen? What will happen? You will be weighed down and it will be difficult for you to move forward. So it is better for you to let go of it. Pull it off your shoulders and say, may Allah forgive this person. I forgive them as well. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam let it go. And then he makes a dua to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. And he makes a dua for their mercy and for their forgiveness and for their guidance. The same people who drove him out of the city. He makes a dua for them. Allahumma, O Allah, إِلَّمْ يَكُنْ بِكَ غَضَبٌ عَلَيَّ فَلَا أُبَالِي. One of the most important parts of that dua, is, oh Allah, if you are not angry with me, then I don't care. It doesn't matter. As long as you are happy with me, oh Allah, it doesn't matter what they have done to me. I will make dua for them. Here I am calling out to you, oh Allah. What matters is my relationship with you. So long as you are not angry with me, I am happy. Allahu Akbar. This was the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making dua for a people who had oppressed him. And this is the height of ihsan. Ihsan is to do over and above what is required of you. To go further and beyond the person that has harmed you, the person who has been swearing you, talking bad about you. You raise your hands up to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, not to call out against them, but to say, Ya Allah, forgive them. Ya Allah, grant them goodness. Ya Allah, open their hearts. Ya Allah, grant them, open their doors of rizq. You make dua for that person. That is Islam. That is ihsan. That is the pinnacle of goodness. So try and be good to those who have been evil to you. And when you are going through suffering, you are going through difficulty, what is the greatest form of ibadah? It is to call out to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. To raise your hands and connect with the one who has the solution with him. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And your Lord said, call out to me, I will respond to you. Your Lord said, call out to me, I will respond to you. In Christianity, you have to go through Jesus Christ. In other religions, you have to go through idols and other forms of deities that they worship. With Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal and in Islam, you go directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the beauty of it is, the imam and the sheikh and the one whom you see as religious in society have equal opportunity to you. You don't need to come to the imam and say, seek dua for me, O imam. You don't need to go to the sheikh and say, call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for me. No, you and him have the same opportunity to call out to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Your route to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is exactly the same as his. All you have to do, raise your hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, you don't even need to raise your hands to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal for your dua to be accepted. That is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Call out to me, I will respond to you. Yours is to make the dua. And the response will come from Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. And when my servants ask you about me, O Muhammad, then I am near. You see, sometimes we feel we are far away from Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. We have been doing wrong for a long time. We have been disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, displeasing Him. Perhaps we have an addiction to cigarettes, or we have an addiction to alcohol, or we have an addiction to pornography, or we have an addiction to something that is haram, and we've been doing it day in, day out for a long time. So we think that we are far. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my servants ask you about me, then indeed I am near. All the distance between you and Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal is simply a dua away. It is simply a dua away. So you may think that you are far away and Allah will not accept from you. But all it takes is, Ya Rabbi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears you. Yes, my servant. What do you want? Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal is prepared to give you. Ujibu da'wat al-da'i idha da'an. I respond to the caller when he calls out to me. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has one request. Let them respond to me. وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. And believe in me so that they may be rightly guided. You want a response to put yourself in the right condition. Yes, you've now called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But now begin with your salah. Increase your dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make yourself a better person, a person that can be responded to and will be responded to by Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Not only should you call out to Him, but improve your life as well. And this is actually and amazingly a coping mechanism for the person who is suffering, for the person who is going through struggle and strife. This is a coping mechanism. What it does is it gives you the understanding that I have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala I can turn to. I can always turn to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. I can always ask Him. I can always seek from Him. You know, sometimes we feel all alone and we feel like there is nobody there. Remember, Allah is always there. And remember the call of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he was calling all alone in solitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is your savior. That is what will benefit you. That is what will help you. May Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal grant us the ability to call out to Him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand that this life is a short existence. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah, tomorrow we will have a short Q&A session. I will give you a number that you can call, send messages to, inshallah. You can send a text message. And if you have any questions, you can ask.